Begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachos daf Lamed Daled. Begin on the fourth line down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, discussing one of the elements mentioned in our previous Mishnah regarding the laws of mezuzah, of stam. Says the Gemara, Idmar learned that lul pesuach min abayis la'aliyah, if there's an opening that's open from the first floor to the second floor, meaning what they used to do is they would make some type of a hole in the middle of the second floor, where they would make steps going up from the first floor to the second floor, and they would make these four walls surrounding that staircase on the bottom, so that whoever's in the second floor should not come into the first floor house without permission from the owner, and they would make an opening by those walls. And so to those who lived in the second floor, they would make four walls around the staircase on the top, and there would be an opening there too, so that if anyone wants to come to the second floor, they have a door that is locked, that they just can't come to the second floor. So Amr Avuna, he says, Im yesh le pesach echad, if this staircase that's going into the second floor has one entryway, whether on the top or the bottom, so chay be mezuzah achas. So then it's going to be liable, it's going to be obligated in one mezuzah, because there's only one doorway. Im yesh, because let's say on the second floor, it just goes straight into the second floor, but the door is by the first floor door, which could have a lock on either way, but they can't get in to the other person's floor. But if there's two openings, meaning there's a door on the first floor and there's a door on the second floor, like we explained, then it's obligated in two mezuzahs, one for each doorway. Amar Papa, so he says, Shema minamad Rav Huna, what we can infer from this teaching of Rav Huna is high in the reign of the Isle Arba Babi, that this room that has four entryways, chayv ba'arba mezuzahs, you're obligated in four mezuzahs, meaning even though it's going to the same place, but every door that's going in is going to be obligated in another mezuzah, like you see from the halacha of Rav Huna, and therefore this room, even though it has four doorways going into the same room, is going to be obligated each doorway in the mezuzah. Says Gemara Pshita, obviously, a door going into a room, into a house, requires a mezuzah. Says Gemara Loi, Trichano, what's necessary is Avagav the Rogel Bachad. Even though they normally use one out of those four doors the most, even so, that's the chiddush that we're saying, each one of those doors are going to be obligated in the mezuzah. Now, although actually we said in the previous daf that halach acha aragel, that we actually said we don't put on every door, we go on the one that's normally used, so that seems to contradict that halacha, and that says Rashi, either that there's a difference. That halacha in the previous daf was talking about when there's two doorways, and they normally use more one than the other one, so you could say that one is batal to the other one. But here we're talking about that there's four doorways going into one. We don't say that three doorways are batal, are nullified and void to one, and therefore all four are going to be obligated in mezuzah. Or another interpretation Rashi brings from the Chubis HaGa'inim, from the responses of the Ga'inim, is talking about where, when did we say in the previous stuff, you go acha haragel after the one that's normally used? That's if we're talking about something that the majority of the people normally use to come in and out of that room. What that is excluding is, let's say, that the Gemara had brought by Pischa the Rebbe. The Rebbe had his own door that only he used. And what it's coming to include is like the contrast that we had by Rav Huna's doorway, where everyone used his doorway, and therefore it's obligated in the mezuzah. But like in the Gemara that we're discussing over here, when there's two or three doorways to one room, and they're all used for everybody in the household to use those rooms, because there's many people and they have to use their room a lot, then even if ultimately they end up diminishing the utility of that room, and now they're not using all the doors, they're only using one of them from all the doors, that's the Gemara saying that still, since everyone, those doors were made for everyone, it's going to be obligated every single one of those doors, even though they use one out of all those doors. Continuing these halachas, Amar Meimer, he says, Hypiska da akrona, this opening, this doorway that's by the corner of the house, where there's different interpretations of what exactly that means. But be that as it may, says, Amemer chayv b'mezuzah. So such a type of an opening is going to be obligated in the mezuzah. On that, the question is, Amle Rav Ashla, Amemer b'vohal lesle patzimin. But there's no doorpost, there's no mezuzahs. All you have is the top of the walls that shape the opening, but there's no doorpost. And a mezuzah is al mezuzahs besecha, it has to be a doorpost. So Amemer said to him, Ode, but there is patzimei. In other words, the top of the walls are, I mean, the edge of the walls, which end up framing the doorway, is a side post. So although it's really the end of the walls, but that's what Amin was telling Rav Ashi, that is considered valid petzimin, valid doorpost, and therefore it is going to be mezuzahs, and therefore one would be obligated in putting a mezuzah over there. Continuing these halachas, Rav Papa Ikli Lebeimar Shmuel, he went to the house of the master of Shmuel, Chazahu pischa delehavli el patzim echad mismali. Saw there was a certain doorway that only had a doorpost on the left side, meaning where the opening was, this doorway was at the edge of the right side of the wall, where the opening of the right side was the corner. So therefore, on that other side, there really wasn't anything. There was only on the left side was a doorpost, and then the doorway, meaning the bottom of the floor that it closes on. But there was no doorpost on the right side, because that's just the end of the house. Now, and v'avi delei mezuzah, but Shmuel had made a mezuzah over there. On that, omalei, Sarah Papa said to him, come on, who are you going like when you're putting a mezuzah over here? Kira Meir, which the Gemara is going to explain later on, that he holds that even a house that only has one doorpost is obligated mezuzah. However, on that, as Rav Papa, Eimadam Rav Meir, when did we find Rav Meir saying that it's obligated mezuzah? That's mi min. That's if that one doorpost is on the right side. Mismel miyamim, but if that one patsim is on the left side and the right side is just the edge of the house, but there's no doorpost itself, that then did he say over there that you give me chayv mezuzah? How are you putting a mezuzah over here? As the Gemara explains, mahi, from where do we know that it has to be on the right side, because that's where you put on the mezuzah, and therefore that has to be on mezuzah's besechas, the doorpost, if there's even going to be one, has to be on the right side, the time like Lunar Braisa. The Pasuk says, in Devarim, Paragvav, Pasuk Tes, Uchsavtem al mezuzah, you should write it on the doorpost of besecha, of your house. What does besecha mean? You could read it, Be'ascha min hayimin, where you come in from the right side, when you're coming into the house, on the right side. That's where you put on the mezuzah. And that's the braisa ato imim min yamin. Do you really say it's on the right side? And elam min asmal. Maybe it's when you're coming in, but on the left side. Tamalayim beisecha. That's what the pasuk means when it teaches your house. So I asked the Gemara, my Talmud, where do you see from the word beisecha that it means the right side, not the left side? So Amar Rabbi says derech biascha. The way you come in to your house when you come in, not when you leave, is min hayimin, is the right side. How do we know? Says the Gemara, because the chi'akr inish kari, when a person picks up his feet, the yamin akr, the first thing that he picks up, that when he's starting to walk, when he's entering an area, is the right foot, because that's the primary foot of a person, which is generally the one they use first. And like they say in Yiddish, you use the right foot, that's the first one that a person goes into. Therefore, if you're saying, when you're coming in to Beisecha, what is that? It's derech biyascha, the way you come in, which is the right. Therefore, that's when they're saying which doorpost has to be the one that you come in with, which is the right side. That's how we know it has to be on the right side. And therefore, they were saying that even according to Rav Meir, that the one doorpost is enough, but not the left side, it has to be the right side. Or another interpretation, another source, Rav Shmuel Ba'acha, Kamei de Rav Papa, Mishmei de Rav Ba'ula Amar, he says, Mahacha. How do you know that it's the right side that we come into first, and hence the mezuzah has to be on the right side? It's from a Pasuk Malachim base. Pasuk says, "V'yikach yayada hakoin." Yayada hakoin took aron echad one box. V'yikach chor bedalsa, and he made a hole in its wall. V'yitin oisei etzal hamizbeich b'min, and he put it by the altar on the right side. B'vay ish beis Hashem, when a person comes into the house of Hashem, v'nosnu shama hakahanim, and that's where the kahanim should put over there, who are the shomer asav, they're the ones who protect the threshold. Eskal hakesav avuvei beis Hashem, all the money that's going to be coming into the house of Hashem. So what you see from this pasuk is, when a person would come into the opening of the azar of the courtyard, which is on the eastern side, and he's going towards the heichal, towards the mizbeach, towards the west, this box was on the right side, which was by the northern part of the east. Which what you see over here is that anything that's put into a person that when he's coming in, like here coming into the Azara, like the mezuzah, has to be placed on the right side, like over here was put on the right side, like we see it was on Mimin, on the right side, Bevai, when he's coming in. So the mezuzah, when you're coming in, has to be on the right side. And therefore, he said that it has to be on the right side. It's not enough to have a doorpost, even if you're like a mayor, that you only need one on the left side. As the Gemara says, Meir Mei, what's Rav Meir? Where do we find that he holds that one patzim, one doorpost is enough? The time like Luna Braisa. Ba'ya she'en le'ela patzim echad. A house that only has one doorpost, Rav Meir Mechayev ben Mezuzah, he says it's obligated in Mezuzah. Racham Vaitim, they say you're exempt. Says the Gemara, my time of the Rabban, what's the reason Rabbanon? Because Mezuzah is exempt, it says in the plural, doorpost. Not enough to have one. My time of the Rav Meir, so what's the reason Rav Meir? Says the Gemara, the time like Luna Braisa. It says in the pasuk mezuzahs, which is plural, shoshemeani miut mezuzah shtaim. So I would understand the smallest amount of plural is two, so that you need to have two doorposts. Kishua emir, but when it says in the pasuk mezuzahs beparsha shniyah, in the second parsha of the obligation of mezuzah, it says again the word mezuzahs in the plural. Shein tam alev is not teaching us anything. We already know from the previous parsha that you need to have mezuzahs. It's an inclusionary term after inclusionary term. Because the first one is telling you need two. The second one is also telling you need two, and that one's not enough. And the halachic concept is an inclusion after inclusion, two positives actually ends up being a negative. Actually, it's diminishing, which is miyata akas of the mezuzah achas. The pasuk is actually diminishing and saying that actually all you need is have, even if you have one patsim, one doorpost, you're going to be obligated in mezuzah. That's to be bishmol. So that's the source for a mayor. Or Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says, no, in the tzach, you don't have to come on to this riba achar ribui. Kishu oimer, because you get it from a different source. And the pasuk says in Shemais, which is by the Pesach they had in Mitzrayim, that there was obligation to take a bundle of Ezef and to dip it into the blood by the threshold, and then to put it, as the gear says, El Hamashkev, to the lintel, El Shlemezuz, and to the door, two doorposts. Now, says Rabbi Kiva, Shein Tam Alei Meshtei. The word two doorposts is not teaching us anything, because we know the word mezuzah is plural, and plural requires at least two doorposts. So Matam Alei Meshtei, what's it teaching when it says to the two doorposts? Oh, so Rabbi Kiva Zeb Bana Av. So this is a building block, a source of teaching that Kal Malkim Shenem and Mezuzahs, whenever it says, even in the plural Mezuzahs, obviously in the Elachas, it means only one doorpost. But it's a terminology that's used in the plural. Until the Pasuk specifies, like it did over there, that it has to be both. Because if Mezuzahs meant two, then why would it say Shtei Mezuzahs? Obviously, because Mezuzahs means one. And when you need two, then you say two. And that's the source, a different source for Reb Meir, that you see that for Mezuzahs, all you need to have is to have one doorpost. But again, that's what Rabbi Papa was telling him, that Tashmul, that, but even if you need one, it has to be the right side, not the left side. Continuing on this halachas, Tarabon in the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, like we quoted before, Uchsaftim, that you should write these mezuzahs on your house and on your gates. Now, Yachal Yichtevena Alavan. So you would think, as the Pasuk seems to say, you should write it on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You would actually write it on the stones that the house is made out of. But says the Braisa, no, Nemekan Ksiba, it says over here writing. V'nemela halon Ksiba, it says over there, by the halachas of Gitna, of a divorce document, it says in Devarim Chavdal, v'chosav la'seiv v'krisis, you should write for her a scroll of separation. So there it also says writing. Now, mala halon la'seiv, just like over there, it's on a scroll, like it says, seiv v'krisis. Afkan la'seiv here also, but the mezuzah is not on the stone itself, rather it's on a parchment, it's on a scroll. And that says the Braisa, maybe go a different direction. Say Nemekan Gesiba, it says over here by the laws of mezuzah, the term of writing. V'nemelahan Gesiba, it says over there, Uchsaftim alav noyim, when the Jewish people come to Eretz Yisrael, that if they write the Torah on stone, and say, Malal navnoyim, just like over there it says writing, it's on the stone. Afkan alav noyim, here also, the writing of the mezuzah is actually on the stone of the house. And that says the Braisa, Nir lemi daima, let's see which one is mezuzah more comparable to regarding either the laws of Gittin, of divorce documents, or of the writing of the Torah when they came into Yisrael on the stone. Let's learn out a writing that applies to all generations, which is the laws of mezuzah, from writing that applies to all future generations, where sefer krisis, Gittin, divorce documents, apply throughout the generations. And we're not going to learn out a writing that applies for all future generations at a mezuzah, from a writing that doesn't apply to future generations, where the writing on the stones was a one-time thing in history when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Like the Pasuk says over there in Yirmiyah, in other words, that yes, we can learn that from krisis and not from uchsaftim alavnoim, that you're going to have to write it on the scroll. And like we see in this Pasuk in Yirmiyah, that you have to write it with ink, both by the laws of mezuzahs and the laws of get. Because like the Pasuk says, V'yemelam Baruch, Baruch said to them, Mipiv yikra Elias esadvar ma'elah, from his mouth of Yirmiyah, he said to me these words that I wrote down, and b'ani kaysev alasefa, but yeah, and I wrote it on a scroll with ink. In other words, from this Pasuk we learn out that when you have to write on the scroll, you have to have it with ink, and we said we're learning out mezuzah from krisis, which is both neglis ladiris, and you're not going to write on the stone like you have in that one time in history. Now, however, Amalei Rav Acha Bered Rav Rav Ashi asks, but how can you say what we just said in the previous price? Rachmana Amar Al Mezuzas. The Torah said you should write it on the doorpost, which sounds literally on the doorpost itself, and not in a scroll that's then attached and affixed to the doorpost. That Amrit Nelev Ksiv Ksiv, and you're telling me Agzeris Shava, oh, okay, learn it out that it should be Allah Sefer Bidyai, could you learn that from Gittin? But what do you mean? But that's precluding what the words in the Pasuk is explicitly saying, that you're right on the doorpost and not on the Sefer. And that he said, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Uchsaftim. Read the Pasuk like this. Uchsavtam. That's the first word. You should write it. The word Uchsavtam is composed of two words, Chsav and Tam, which tells you Ksiva Tama, that you have to do a complete writing. Now, you can't have a complete writing by writing on wood and on stone, because it's not going to last. It's only if you write it on a scroll, on a piece of parchment. Then Vahada, then the Pasuk is saying, so first write it, and then place it al hamezuzas, on the doorpost, so Uchsavtam Kama, al mezuzas, and then put it onto the doorpost. Now, that is the Gemara. So, me'achad achsev uchsavtim, then based on your interpretation, that since it already says, you have to have a ksivat tamam, which tells you that you have to write on a sefer. So, hi gzeri shava. So, then this gzeri shava that we brought before, of ksivat ksiva, learning it from Gittin, that it has to be to writing with ink on a piece of parchment. So, lamali, what do you need that for? I already know it has to be on a sefer from uchsavtim. I don't need to have it from a gzeri shava. Oh, that says Gemara. No, ilav gzer shav. If we didn't have the gzer shav, learning it from Gittin, havamina, I would have said no. Lichteva aavna. That actually, first it should be written on the stone. Meaning, you could carve it out with a knife on the stones, which actually would be a ksiva tama. And that is because the Shita Mugabetz as Naischa says, because they understand that when we said that it's not going to be a ksiva tama, is if you would actually carve it out on the doorpost itself, where that's not. The scribe wouldn't be able to carve it out that well when it's attached to the house already. But that's what the Gemara is saying. But okay, so then if not the Gzei Shava, if we learn up just from Uchsav to Miksivatama and then Al Mezuzas, we would say yes, carve it out on the stone and then Velikva, then go ahead and affix that doorpost Asifa onto the door frame of the house. Then you'll have a ksivat tama, and then you'll have al mezuzis. That's what we're learning from the gzeir shava, that no, it has to be a safer, like it is, but getting safer creases, and therefore, that's when we're saying that we know it has to be a safer. And although the pasuk you're asking me sounds like you should write on the doorpost, I would say, no, saftim is one thing, and then al mezuzis beisecha uvisharecha. Now the Gemara continues the halacha of a mishnah, which we're thinking about saying about things that are ma'akvizuazu, that are integral, you have to have all elements. So the Mishnah said, Arba Parshish B'Tfilin, the four different parshias, the different halachic concepts written in the Torah, which each is a separate parsha, Shabbat that's in the Tfilin. Ma'akvazu Azu, that they're in the different compartments, what's called the bottom of the Tfilin, where there's one Tfilin Shalresh, Tfilin Shalyad, that the Ma'akvazu Azu, they're integral, which the Tefillin Shel Reish, there are four individual parashas, and Tefillin Shel Yad, they're written all together. And Vafilik Savech Ma'akv, and even one letter is going to be Ma'akv, you have to have everything written, and all four parashas for the Tefillin to be kosher. So ask Mar Pshita, obviously, that's what the halacha is, why, how would we think it's not? So Amar Vidim Rabbi says, L'yitzuch el kutzah shel yud, what we're saying is, even the tip of the yud, which is different Rishayim interpretation, what does that tip mean? But the yud has different tips. Even the tip of the yud, even though you'll have the letter without that's also going to be ma'akev. I'm asking about Ba'anamai Peshit, that's also obvious. But that's the Messiah. That's how the yud's supposed to be. If you're missing that tip, it's not the yud. So it's Gemara, Lo Nitzchel Le'idach to Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, it's for a different teaching of Yehuda that the Chiddush is telling us. The Amar Yehuda Merav, he says, Kol Eis She'ing Vil Mukav La Ma'aber Ruchesel, any letter that doesn't have parchment surrounding it on all four sides, then Pesul is going to be invalid, meaning to say that every single letter has to be complete and intact, meaning that it's not touching any other letter, because then or else it's not just that letter itself. That's the Chiddush that the Mishnah is saying, that every one of those elements, even that halacha of being surrounded by parchment, all four sides, is going to be ma'akiv in the halacha of the tefillin. Now, it's continued to Medbeis, the Gemara continues these halachas of tefillin, Tarnabon Lutna Braisa. Says one time in the Torah, Litaitafis, says another time, Litaitafis, and both those don't have any vavs. Then the third time it says Litaitafis with a vav. Sahari Kandalit. So that's four, because the first two are singular. Then the third one is plural, which 2 + 1 + 1 is four, which that from here is where we learn out that there have to be four parashas and four batim and four compartments in the Tefillin Shel Reish. That's the Rebbe Shmuel. Kiva, he says, hey, Nitzach, no, you don't have to come onto that to tell you that Tefillin are going to have Dalet parashas in Dalet batim. Because the word Taitafis itself tells you for. Why? Because Tat Bekasvi Shtayim, in that place of Kasvi, they call the word two Tat. So Tat Fas is Taitafis, Tat in Kasvi means two, and Pas Ba'afriki Shtayim. In Afriki, the word Pas means two. So Tat Fas, Taitafis is 2 + 2 = 4. That's how we know it has to have four parashas. Tanabon Linda Brysa continuing these halachas, Yachal Yichtivim al Dalet Iris. So you would think that Tefillin should be written on four separate hides, meaning four separate pieces of parchment, which are these four different parashas, as we're going to see later on what these four parashas are. V'enichim b'dalet batim, and that you should put into four different compartments, meaning that there's the one tefillah, there's the one box that's put into, but there's, as we're going to see, different compartments. B'dalet oyers, and this is the main thing that the Brayer is saying, you would think that each one of those compartments in the tefillin shereish should require to be made out of a separate piece of hide, of the leather of the animal. Tamalem, that's what the pasuk teaches. Ulezikaron beinenechad, use the singular, that it should be a remembrance between your eyes. That means to say is zikaron echad amartelach. I told you it should be one remembrance. V'loy beiz v'gimel zecharonis, not two, three remembrances. So okay, it's a household. Says the Braisa, what you do is as follows. When it comes to the tefillin shereish, kaisvan al dalar iris. So you write the parashas. Shema, v'mishmoy, kadosh v'kiyacha. These are four different parashas. You write each parasha on a separate piece of parchment. You put each parasha in a different one of the four different compartments in the Tefillin Shereish. Be'or echad, that is, but those four batim are made from one piece of leather. Meaning what you do is you stretch out a piece of leather from a small calf, and you take that hide, which is the skin of the cow, and you put it into a form that has like four different fingers sticking out. And you put it in to dry into that shaping, and then you take away that shaper, and then by itself you have these four different compartments, but it's all from one piece of skin of the hide of the animal. Now continues the Braisa, Vim Kaspan Ba'ir Echad, but if it was written on one piece of parchment, and meaning they took one hide and they wrote the four parashas on that one hide, V'enichan b'dal batim, and then it was put into the four different compartments that are made from one hide, like we said, as it's supposed to be. Yatza, he's fulfilled his obligation. Even though we said that you should write the four parashas on four separate pieces of parchment, if they wrote them on one piece of parchment, they have fulfilled the obligation. But it has to be that you left space between the parashas that they should be written on one hide, but after that they be written, that they could be cut from the top of the parchment, like where we said these four different fingers that are put into the four bottom, to the four compartments, that it's going to be attached on the bottom, the from that one hide, but it has to be that there's a space between the four different bottom of this one leather that each one could be put into their separate space that they're supposed to be. So as long as there's a space that you'd be able to cut and separate the four different ones, as long as you could fit each one of these four in their separate batim, even though you wrote it on one piece of parchment, you have fulfilled your obligation as Divrei Rabbi. They say, no, you don't need to have this space that Rabbi's talking about between the parashas. But for Shavit, says the Braisa, and they're all equal, that you have to put a thread or rope between each one of these batim as a sign of a separation between the four parashas that go into the four different compartments in this Tefillin Shereish. Now, moreover, says the Raisa, the fact that we're showing that there has to be a separation between the four different batim, and that's where the four parashas, each parasha goes into a separate compartment in the Tefillin Shereish, v'mein charitzin. Now, if their grooves that is between each one of these four batim is not nicker, it's not recognizable on the outside, like if one looks at Tefillin Shereish, you see that there are these lines, if it's not recognizable, psulis, the tefillin is going to be invalid, where if, let's say, he made separate compartments of the bottom inside, but it's not recognizable, it looks like it's one thing on the outside, that's going to be invalid. They have to be clearly demarcated on the outside too, that there are four separate parashas in the Tefillin Shereish. Now, turn about the Braisa, Ketzad Kaisvin. How does one write the tefillin? So, says the Braisa, Tefillah Shal Yad, the tefillin that goes on the arm, Kaisva Alor Echad, unlike the Tefillin Shereish, which we said should be written on four different parashas, on the Tefillin Shalyad, all the four parashas, the same parashas, should be written on one piece of parchment. Now, Vim Kasava Ba'arba Iris, let's say it was written on four different scrolls, then V'nich B'vayis Achad, and then it was put into this one compartment that is in the Tefillin Shalyad, so Yatza, person has fulfilled his obligation, but B'tzarech L'dabik, he has to, however, connect these four different scrolls together, either by stitching or by like gluing them together. Shanam, like it says in the Pasuk, V'hayi L'cha L'ois Al Yadecha, that it should be for you a sign which is singular on your arm. Meaning, even for you, it should not be more than one sign. Meaning, when it's inside these four scrolls and they're not connected, and they're put into the one compartment, which is the tefillin shel yad, are not split into four. So for everyone else that only sees the outside, it's considered one sign. But for you, who you're wearing the tefillin, you could feel that these four different parchments, each one are separate, and they're moving around, that for you it's not one sign anymore, it's two, three, four signs. So therefore, that's what the pasuk says, it should be for you a sign on your arm, which is k'shem sha'is achas min b'chutz, just like it's one sign on the outside for everyone else, k'cho'is achas min b'fin, has to be one sign on the inside for you too, that's the Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you have to stitch them together, glue them together, but they cannot be separate inside. Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees and says, no, you don't have to glue them together. Moreover, Amr Rabbi Yehuda says, immediately Rabbi Yehuda Baribi, the great Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the one who's my disputant, the sage Rabbi Yehuda, he agrees to me, if someone doesn't have a hand tefillin, but she has two tefillin of the head, which they're made into four different compartments, what you do is, you go ahead and you take a piece of leather and you put it over the tefillin shel reish, meaning over these four different compartments, you cover it with one piece of leather, now it looks like one bias, one compartment. And then he goes and puts it on his arm, even though obviously they're not connected in the inside because they're actually in four different compartments inside the tefillin shel reish, and you're putting it on your arm. So even though he disagrees with me and says it has to be glued together, here he would agree with me. That is the Gemara Maida. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to him. Hainu pluktai, but that's exactly what he disputes him regarding, do they have to be connected or not. And here they're obviously separate because they're in four different batim. So Amar Rava, he says, Midvar Shal Biyasi, yeah, you're right. From the words of Rabbi Yehuda, it's obvious that Chazab Rabbi Yehuda, he was saying that Rabbi Yehuda retracted and actually ultimately held like Rabbi Yehuda that you don't have to connect them. And that's why he was saying that he agrees to me that if you only have Tefillin Shel Reish, you could actually use it for Tefillin Shel Yad, because although they're separate and not connected, it's okay. He agrees to my opinion that it does not have to be glued together and one will still fulfill his obligation of Tefillin Shel Yad. However, on this halacha itself of Rabbi Yisi, the Gemara asks, is that really so? Could someone take tefillin shel reish and use it for tefillin shel yad? Although you're saying it's not going to be a problem because of l'chol lo'is al yadcha, for whatever reason it is that the interpretation doesn't mean that it has to be one sign for you, and or like it's not going to be one sign if they're separate, but you have a different problem. He had sent, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, the following halacha. Tefillin shel yad, eis nois shel reish. A person could convert a tefillin shel yad into a tefillin shel reish. But for shel reish, ein eis nois shel yad. You cannot make a tefillin shel reish and use it for the tefillin shel yad on the arm. Why? Lefishein meridim mekedusha chamur lekedusha kal, because you cannot demote and downgrade a more severe sanctity to a lesser sanctity, and the tefillin shel reish is more severe sanctity for two reasons. One is because the majority of one of Hashem's names of Shakai, Shin Dal Yud, the majority of it is in the tefillin shel reish. You have the shin that's carved out in the actual leather box itself, and you have the dalet that's in the kesher of the tefillin that's in the back, that's by the nape, the back of the head, which the knot is in the shape of a dalet. But by the tefillin shel yad, by the arm, there's only a yud, where there's a small little knot that's made there on the edge of the ritzuis, where it's tied around the biceps, that's just one yud. So the tefillin shel reish has two letters versus the tefillin shel yad. Moreover, the pasuk says, v'roch al ami oretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha, that they're going to see and they're going to be afraid of you, and the brisa teaches later on the next daf, that Rabbi Elazar Gerla says it refers to tefillin shel reish. So we see that has a greater level of kedusha. So you see, you cannot use it for tefillin shel yad. So how could he say that, okay, he agrees to me that you could use the tefillin shel reish because there's no problem because they're separate and you don't have to connect them, but you have the other problem about downgrading from kedusha chamur to kedusha kal. So the Gemara Lekash is not a difficulty. Ha ba'atikta. Here in the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, we're talking about that these are old tefillin, meaning they were already tied onto the head and used. Yes, you're right. In that situation, it would be forbidden to downgrade and use it as a tefillin shel yad. Ha bechadosasa. Rabbi Yechanan is talking about by new tefillin. New tefillin shel reish that was never used. It never had that sanctity of shel reish because it was never utilized in the mitzvah of that. Then there wouldn't be a problem of demoting and downgrading the Kedusha. The only situation would be regarding, but they're separate parashas. Now he says, Rabbi Yehuda would agree to me that you could use it, it's not a problem. It's still going to fulfill the mitzvah of Lavhoi L'chol O'is Al Yadcha. Moreover, says the Gemara Bera Lamandam, according to the one who says, his burden Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin Mabeis, that as Mon Milsihi, even just preparing something is considered significant. And therefore, once it was prepared to be the Tefillin Shel Reish, you wouldn't be allowed to switch it to Tefillin Shel Yad. You have to say to Asni Alai Mikara that they had stipulated initially that they'll also use it for Tefillin Shel Yad if they need it. and therefore was never designated purely for Shal Reish, and was also stipulated to be Shal Yad, and that's why it's not a problem about downgrading from Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala. But yes, if it was already used, then you wouldn't be able to use it either way from Tefillin Shal Reish to Tefillin Shal Yad. Continues the Gemara, Tamar Lorna Braisa, Ketzat Siddaran. What is the order of the placing of the parashias in the Tefillin Shal Reish? Where we said there's four different parashas, what is the order of that you put them in the tefillin? Says the Braisa, you have the parasha of Kaddish Li, you have the parasha of B'hoi Kaviyacha, which each one of these mentioned the element relating to Yitzis Mitzrayim. Then these are Miyamin, these are on the right side, and Shema Vayim Shemaya, which are the other two parashas, are Mismal on the left side. And that is the Gemara, but V'tanya Yipchul, then the Braisa is exact opposite. How is it possible? Which one is it? Amabai says, like Kash, it's not difficulty. Khan, the first Bryce that says that Kaddish Vayikaviyach is on the right side, is Miminishal Kairis. On the right side of someone who's reading them. Meaning someone who's facing the person who's wearing the tefillin, he would, so to speak, be the one reading it, because he's facing the parishes. Then, it's like the first Bryce's order. Khan, Miminishal Maniach, the second Bryce, would be talking about the right side of the one who's wearing the tefillin. Meaning, because when the one who's reading is standing opposite the one who's wearing it, so therefore, his right is going to be his left, because each one's right is his right is facing the person's left. So therefore, it's the same thing. It's not a contradiction. And Va'akara Kara Kesidron, the one that reads it in the order, meaning to read in the order that they're written in the Torah. That's why we said the order are going to be Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet is going to be Kaddish V'Kaviyacha Shema V'Yim Shemaya, which is the one that's reading it. Yeah, the one who's wearing it, it's exactly the opposite. But the reason why it's in that order, because the one who's, so to speak, reading it, who's facing the one who's wearing it, you go in the order of the parashas in the Torah. And therefore, when we said in the first Braisa that's Kaddish V'Kaviyacha on the right side, it's the right side of the one who's reading it, when he's reading in the order that's written in the Torah, which is from right to left, comes out, he's reading in the proper order. The Braisa that says the exact opposite, which sounds like the Kaddish V'Kaviyacha is on the left, is talking about the one who's wearing it, which we said is the right of the one who's going to be reading it. Now, it's obviously important to point out that Tosis brings in the Shita Mukabetz explains the famous opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, who disputes, and he says that actually the order of the placement of the tefillin is Kaddish V'Kaviyacha V'Hoyim Shemaya and then Shema. Not Shema V'Hoyim Shemaya like Rashi, but rather V'Hoyim Shemaya and then Shema. And the way he understands the Gemara is when you're starting to read from the right side, then it's you find Kaddish V'Kaviyacha and that whole order from the right side. But when you're starting from the left side, that's what's saying that then you'll have the order Shema first and then V'Hoyim Shemaya, where, because that's if you're starting from the left side. And that's what it means. This one's on the right, this one's on the left. If you're starting first from either side. If you're starting from the right, you'll have the order of the Torah, which is Kaddish V'Kaviyacha. If you're starting from the left, you'll have the order of the Torah, Shema V'Mishamaya. But what that makes it is, if you're reading all four contiguous, it's not going to be like Rashi. It's going to be Kaddish V'Kaviyacha, V'Mishamaya, and then Shema. That's the difference between the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin and Rashi Tefillin, which majority of that followed the opinion of Rashi, which is the order of Shema Vayim Shemaya, but then the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin is the other way, which is that it's going to be first Vayim Shemaya and then Shema, because on the left side, that means to say, what do you mean you have these two on the left side? If you're starting to read from the left side, then you'll have Shema and then Vayim Shemaya, whereas if you're reading from the right side, you'll have first Kaddish and then Vayim Kaviyacha.